Hi, and welcome to Deep Dive with Jamie Stein, where we take a deep dive look at all things reality TV, pop culture, and the world at large. I'm an intuitive and an empath, which means I pick up on the thoughts, feelings, and energy percolating in other people and the world around me. I believe there is meaning waiting to be found at every turn if you're willing to see it. So join me as we dismantle everything from trash TV to high spiritual concepts and learn more about ourselves, each other, and how we're all connected. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Deep Dive with Jamie Stein. Very excited and curious about today's episode. Kind of like last time, this is a little bit of a new twist on an old theme. You might call it a little bit experimental. What we're going to do today is take the notion of dropping in to perhaps an even deeper level than we have before. As you know, I tend to like to intuitively drop in to and explore our various Bravo celebrities to see if maybe we can get hits on what might be motivating their thoughts, words, and actions on a deeper level. And typically, these drop-ins are in the context of a larger conversation about the show and what's going on in the show. And typically, what I usually do is start to drop into various specific moments prior to the episode just to prepare and to get a little bit of an intuitive lay of the land. And then I kind of weave it in throughout the conversation. But I've had this idea for a while to perhaps create space to not plan ahead and to pick a specific Bravo celebrity and really just create dedicated time and space to dropping into that Bravo Leb's psyche live, you could say, uninterrupted, uncensored. There's no targeted destination point. We're just going to kind of pick an area of focus, drop into them on that deeper level, and then see where it wants to go. And part of my image of this was to always have a guest with me who could, in a way, almost act as the interviewer of this energy, someone to help guide the conversation, to ask questions. And like I said, just sort of see what wants to be revealed when we open the space up a bit more and create a little bit more room and flexibility for whatever that deeper information might be and wherever that deeper information might be. Take us. And I thought no better place to start, perhaps, than this very dynamic season of Summer House. I think people are really into the season of Summer House. I think a lot of us feel like it's a return to form. Not only is it light and fun, but we've also got our share of very serious, heavy drama with, I would say, both the veteran couples in the house. Certainly, we're watching Lindsay and Carl on the precipice of their breakup. But as a lot of us are noting, there's also another couple in the house that is really experiencing its shares of ups and downs. And that is, of course, King and Queen of Summer House, Kyle Cook and Amanda Batchelor. And I've long had an impulse actually to explore Amanda on a deeper level, just to really, see if we could get a read on what's going on with her. Because, you know, for anyone who's watched this show for a long time knows, you know, she really fought hard for this relationship from the beginning. I mean, she essentially started out as Kyle's booty call and he wasn't really taking her seriously. And yet she showed up night after night after night and she got him to finally commit to a serious relationship. He has been a handful, drinking, cheating. It sort of looked like they might not make it for a time, but they did make it. They're married. And again, as we're all seeing, it's definitely a roller coaster of a relationship where Amanda often seems to, I mean, quite frankly, have open contempt, hatred, and hostility for the man that she has fought for so many years and the man that she decided to marry. And I think our timing is very fortuitous because actually, just in this last episode, we had Sierra and Paige finally asking Amanda some hard-hitting questions about what she's doing in her life, what she's doing in her career, who is she outside of her marriage. Sierra said point blank, I don't think you have much of an identity outside of Kyle. And it was interesting for me to take that in because obviously we're going to get into Amanda in a moment, but I've always had this kind of initial sense that Amanda is someone who has a lot of powerful energy that wants to run through her that she seems to pull back from. So yes, I thought the timing in the moment seemed perfect to maybe finally explore Amanda on a deeper level. And I thought, who better to bring along for this initial exploration than a very dear, dear old friend of the podcast. She has supported this podcast before it even officially launched. She's been a huge source of help and support for me. She's been a guest several times. She is the host of Hot Takes and Deep Dives, which is a great podcast that takes kind of a nostalgic look at late 90s, early aughts pop culture with a particular bent towards NYC pop culture. She also produced, wrote, edited, researched, like wore all the hats of the very successful limited series podcast, Finding Fire Island, which came out last year, which if you've not checked that out yet, you definitely should. It's all about the history of Fire Island. Please welcome back to the deep dive, Jess Rothschild. Hi, Jess.
Hi, thank you so much. Now, should I be the one to let you know Amanda's last name is in fact Batula?
Oh my God. Well, yes, you should. You are doing it right now. Oh my God.
Because otherwise, like, the listeners will be screaming. So
why did I think it was Batula? I feel like
I don't know, but it was hilarious.
I don't think I've ever heard her name said out loud.
In fact, my friends who do host like a Bravo recap podcast, they, for whatever reason, one of them loves Amanda, and the co-host calls like Amanda Head's Batula Hoops.
Oh, maybe I have heard that before. All right. In my mind, it will always be Batula.
That is sick.
Batula. Her name is Amanda Batula. Okay. I'm going to put that into my Rolodex. How are you today, Jess?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. I'm excited to see where this wants to go.
Yes. We're both hardcore Summer House fans.
It's true. We've been around for a minute. I mean, we've watched from the beginning. I mean, we were back there in the days of Stephen McGee. And what was that guy's name? Was it Everett, Lindsay's first boyfriend?
Well, Everett was the boyfriend who Lindsay came on with.
Right.
In season one.
The military guy.
The Workist twins.
Workist
we've been
circus.
There with Gay Jordan.
Oh, I love Jordan. Jordan is so underrated.
And also, something else, huge mistake firing Hannah.
I think it was good for the moment, but I think she should have just been put on pause. And I'm ready for a dramatic reentrance with Dez in tow.
But here's the thing. She's actually one of the most successful people to ever come out of Bravo. She has created an enormous comedy fan base. Like, she is on like national tour with like doing stand up outside of the podcast with Paige. Like, she's a huge TikTok comedian. She's actually like hugely famous, like for like millennials, Gen Z comedy people.
Well, good for her.
They don't even know that she was on a reality show.
You have to remember though. I mean, I very specifically remember how things started playing out her last season, season five. She was becoming quite toxic to the ensemble dynamic. Something needed to shift. I mean, I welcomed the break from Hannah's kind of what I call or experience as devouring energy. But like I said, I'd be open to her coming back now. I mean, I think she'd stir things up for sure. Mm-hmm. Kind of like how Stassi left Vanderpump Rules for a little bit and then came back. You know, sometimes people need to be put on pause and then they can come back. All right. Anything else before we jump in?
Yeah, we'll save it for after when we jump out.
So my feeling, like I said, this is going to be a little free form. Typically, when I do drop-ins, I like to get really specific. I like to drop into specific moments and time, specific points of conflict. But I thought in this case, because it is a little bit more experimental, we're opening things up a bit energetically, I thought I would just start by dropping into Amanda towards Kyle. Just literally let myself visualize Kyle, mullet and all, and just sort of see what comes forward. And I guess one last thing before I do this, you know, just to kind of quickly rearticulate the spirit and the intention of this work and this content and sort of what we're doing here. First, I want to say that, you know, the things that come through me, I am never in any way, shape, form, or fashion positioning this as the complete, comprehensive, quote unquote, truth, whatever that means. We're always just identifying one or two threads. And that's not to say that there aren't a myriad of other threads in every relationship. I mean, for all of us, we love people, we hate people. We're happy for people, we're jealous of people. You know, human beings are complex, relationships are complex. So whatever is going to come through me, it's just what's coming through me in the moment. I don't for one second want anyone to walk away from this thinking that, again, I'm presenting this as some complete comprehensive truth. These are just the threads coming through me right now. And I will say there are times where sometimes I prepare for something and I drop in and I get certain hits and threads, but then in the moment I decide to drop in again and I get a different set of hits and threads. So again, the quote unquote truth is always multidimensional. It's always multifaceted. That's part of what makes this fun and magical. Also, on that note, I just want to be very clear in case it's not obvious. I do not know Amanda Batula. I've never met her. She is not here to answer questions. She's not here to clarify. She's not here to shed light on anything. I am going off limited information of what I see on an edited TV show. And so on that note, as you guys know, I always just say this is playful exploration. I'm not doing this to perform a magic trick where the whole point is whether I'm quote unquote right or not. This is about really creating a space again to intuitively explore and hopefully to invite people into what I call a field, you know, into an energetic opening where you get a chance to reflect on these themes, perhaps realize things for and about yourself, get connected to your own intuitive awareness and see where it wants to take you. And, you know, an opportunity to take, as we all know, something like reality TV, which tends to be regarded as shallow or trashy or superficial, and to interface with it in a way that can perhaps be more constructive, where we get to recognize not only the humanity of the people we're watching on screen, but also our own humanity as well. And also, lastly, having said that, to also honor and acknowledge the space that is getting opened up here, and that even though some of it may be a direct bullseye, some of it may be a little far afield, just that there does tend to be things that come through. And I just sort of say that because I think even if someone like Amanda never hears this, never knows about it, I do think that when we witness anyone on these potentially deeper levels, that it does create a healing space for them. And also for the people who are listening and witnessing. So, you know, it's both to hold this lightly, to hold it playfully, to not get too hung up on whether it's like 100%, again, quote unquote, the truth, and also to take seriously what's coming forward for ourselves and also for the people involved. So that's my little disclaimer before we go into all this. Yeah. Did you have anything you need to say or any questions you needed to ask? Are you feeling ready?
No.
All right. Well, then having said all that, I'm a little nervous. I am going to drop in right now live into Amanda Batula towards Kyle, and we'll just sort of see what comes up. All right. Okay. So it is interesting. As Amanda, I just notice immediately, I mean, you can't see me at home, but my shoulders are hunching forward. My hands are clasping my chest, and it's almost just this feel like I'm pulling away, and it really feels like I'm protecting my heart. So let me just stay with this for a moment. Like, it's interesting. It's like the first words I'm hearing as I take in, like, get away from me, get the fuck away from me. Part of me just wants to sort of push you, meaning Kyle. I just want to push you away. I don't want to take you in all the way. It's like, get the fuck away from me. So let me just stay with this. There really is like a resistant, angry energy here. Okay, well, so this is what's interesting. As I let myself embody some of this energy that I feel that's like wanting to push Kyle away and not take him in, what comes up for me is a really deep lack of trust. And I want to say, like, yes, you could make this specifically about Kyle in the sense that we do know he's got like this history with infidelity, whatever, staying out late, binge drinking. But to me, this feels deeper than that. It feels like a lack of trust when it comes to really opening up my heart. Like, it's this feeling, if I let myself really take Kyle in and surrender to the love that's here, and I want to say I will coax this Amanda energy to take him in and see where it takes me, but it's this feeling like if I really take him in, yes, that could lead me to surrendering more deeply to the love I feel and being more surrendered into my heart. I mean, even just saying that, like, I tense up and I notice like my hands coming up, kind of like putting a wall between me and Kyle. It's like, I don't fucking trust you with my heart. Like, I don't fucking trust you with my heart. But it feels again, like almost like I don't trust anyone with my heart. Like, I'm never going to let myself be fully vulnerable. I'm never going to let my love fully flow, because if I do, like, what I'm experiencing as Amanda is that there's actually something so sensitive and loving inside of me. And when I say that, I almost feel like the spirit and the energy of like a wide-eyed little girl. And then when I say that, I'm getting this image of like Amanda as a little girl, kind of like, I mean, literally sort of happily dancing like in grass and flowers and nature. Like there's something here that feels so tender and warm and sensitive and loving. And then when I say that, the voice I hear is like, and that's the place I'm never going to risk dropping into that all the way, because that's the place that I could get fucking hurt. So you don't get access to that. And yes, it's this feeling like if I really take you in all the way, I risk going there and you could really, really hurt me.
So on this, with not trusting with her heart, if I were to ask Amanda, like, what would the worst case scenario look like for her?
There's something here about feeling like this is where I could, like, I could get shut down. Like something's going to, oh, when I said that, I just felt so much grief. Like something could come in and shut me down. So, you know, if I were to trust this and if I were working with Amanda, yeah, it feels to me like there's some sort of historical experience with being this girl who's in my heart, in my love, in my sensitivity, in my tenderness. And then that's the moment where something comes in and kind of smacks me down and it hurts. And like, I don't want to go through that again. And, you know, one of the little flashes that was coming through, and obviously this is where it would be helpful to actually have Amanda here. It's like, there is something that feels very specific to her relationship with men. And so, of course, the natural place to go is always like family of origin. I'd get curious about her relationship with her father. I know on the show, she seems very close to her parents. Not that that means anything. Meaning, when I say not that means anything, it doesn't negate that there can't be inner conflict around her parents. But she does seem very close with her parents. I will say the little that we've seen of her parents, her father has definitely seemed protective, right? Like we kind of got that when Kyle was cheating and planning to propose. But there also, I think, has definitely been a possible threat or flavor of, you know, the guy who calls the shots and runs the show. I mean, I seem to recall like conversations about money and who's paying for what. And I forget the specifics, but I do kind of remember some sort of energetic experience of like, okay, this guy definitely has a lot of strong opinions about how things are playing out and how they should be playing out and what's right for his daughter and what's right for his family. So, I mean, again, this is all conjecture because we don't know. We weren't there and Amanda's not really here to elaborate, but it's almost like the energetic flavor of it, if I were to get intuitively curious or hypothesize, is maybe something around having a loving, strong father, man figure around who I do love and my heart wants to go towards. And he is loving and he is protective. So there is that sense of love and on a certain level, safety, but then also maybe someone who's got strong thoughts and opinions, how things are supposed to go, and maybe energetically knows how to like kind of come in and shut things down that are very sensitive. And then when I say that, I do get this kind of sense of like, if what I'm feeling is correct, there might be some, it actually makes a lot of sense to me right now. There might be something deeply sensitive in Amanda, like someone who, like when I say sensitive, like meaning intuitive feeling. I mean, when I'm saying it makes actually a lot of sense, I'm saying because suddenly I'm thinking about, you know, she is introverted. Like she even, I mean, Kyle even said that this last episode where he was like, I want to go to Montauk, but if Amanda goes to Montauk, she's going to be dead until Wednesday. And actually, when he said that, it was one of the first times I really felt like a kinship with Amanda. I was like, oh, that would be me too. If I go out all weekend, I'm dead till Wednesday. So
yeah,
to me, this is actually an indication and confirmation of what I'm feeling now, which Amanda is someone who might be deeply energetically sensitive to people, places, things in the world around her. And so it might hypothetically be confusing if you're raised by someone who's not attuned to that sensitivity and is maybe like a little brisker and just like opinionated and like kind of comes in like a bull in a china shop. Again, you know, you guys, I don't know these people. They're not here. Take this all with a grain of salt. What's coming to me as I explore this possibility is actually that maybe Mr. Batula has his own relationship to sensitivity, and it's something that he almost like disowns in himself. Kind of like a Lindsay. You know, you see that a lot with Lindsay. Like, it feels like Lindsay's actually very sensitive and there's a deep softness to her. And you kind of feel her just charge past it because it seems like it's threatening her in some way. I'm getting the possible hit. This is a guy who maybe is like that. So when he's got this sort of sensitive little girl, it's like he's shutting something down because it's like something in himself that he shuts down. And so then as Amanda, it's like, oh God, this hurts. You know, like the man who loves me is also the man who shuts me down. And then kind of like the last little hit I'm getting off of all this too is there's something here for me possibly about maybe the way her parents kind of baby her, like infantilize her and sort of maybe have not supported her to feel like an individuated, actualized woman who's sort of separate from them. There's something here about that too. I don't quite know what else I want to say about that right now.
Well, when you talk about her father, it reminds me, remember when Kyle went to her father to basically ask for his permission to propose, or, you know, his blessing to propose to Amanda. And it was all wrapped around the cheating. Remember that scene between Kyle and the dad mm-hmm. where he sort of is confronted with this kid, Kyle, who cheated on the daughter. And I remember that. And in a way, Kyle was shut down. Mm-hmm. Like, in a way, he was kind of dismissed. Be like, do whatever you want. But like, there's forever going to be like a distrust between me, her father, and you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I also remember that was the scene when they were on kind of like a balcony, right? Overlooking like the New York skyline or something.
Yeah.
And then there was another scene I remember where I think they were in Kyle and Amanda's New York apartment where they were sort of gathered around talking about wedding plans.
Yeah.
But yeah, both those scenes, you know, I wish if I had known this is where it was going to go, I would have rewatched them to remind myself. But I just have a general sense memory of both those scenes. The father, yes, having very strong opinions. I think to both our points, though, it's not like he came in with an explicitly outward heavy hand where obviously like he wasn't like a Mama Joyce, for example, or a Mama D from Dallas. But there was kind of a quiet judgment. There was a quiet, like you're saying, dismissal. There was kind of like, yeah, it's certainly, there was an energetic attitude that certainly wasn't warm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this could be in the neighborhood of what we're talking about of like, you know, the possible experience of a young girl, again, deeply sensitive, deeply loving, feeling shut down in ways and places, and then not feeling like she has room to talk about it. And maybe the other thing I'll rope into this, again, I don't really know Amanda's exact situation. She was working before Loverboy for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know to what degree, like if her parents actually like financially helped her out, currently financially help her out, or if that's like a dynamic. But I can also imagine whether or not they're literally financially helping her out, or there's just kind of more of an energetic, emotional, again, infantilization. I could imagine then it would make her feel even less able to speak up and speak out if she ever does feel shut down. You know, like that there really isn't room or space to say, wait a second, the way that you're orienting towards this conversation or the way that you're speaking to me or about me doesn't feel good. You know, there might be more of an impetus just to feel like she doesn't have a right to feel that way and to internalize it. And yet it also deeply hurting at the same time. Because the other thing, the last thing I'll say for right now, the other thing you have to remember, as annoying, I mean, this is me speaking, Jamie, as annoying as Amanda's, what I would call her default to kind of like cruelty and, you know, what I experience is kind of a bitchiness. The truth is that's a rage there. Like there is a cruelty that comes through her. I mean, like, look, we've seen her smash things. You know what I mean? I remember, was it last season where Kyle was out late one night and she took his shit and like threw it on the floor? I mean, there is deep anger there. And I think maybe sometimes it gets overlooked because of how she generally presents as more of like a kind of a young girl. And she kind of will default to whining a bit. You know what I mean? So I think sometimes it's easy to overlook that there's actually a really deep well of rage there that comes out sometimes. And so I'm just saying this because there's some well of rage that lives in her. And again, I could imagine this would relate to feeling shut down and not having room or space to speak up and say, don't fucking shut me down.
So can you, based off the rage thing that you're talking about, can you drop into Amanda toward Loverboy? Because I have some questions around that relationship.
Yes, I can. And let me ask you, do you think I should go back in towards Kyle first, or do we want to come back to Kyle?
We can come back to Kyle. Because like the lover boy, I mean, that's wrapped into Kyle, but yeah, I want to filter it through the prism of the business.
All right, so this is Amanda towards lover. I'm noticing, I'm getting nervous. Again, it's so funny, even before dropping in, my heart is bracing and freezing. So I just think, oh my God, even saying that, I start wanting to cry. So what I was going to say is like, even before I'm dropping in, and I want to say too, so I say this on the podcast and I say this with my clients, I always interpret like everything that happens when I'm exploring someone as some sort of relevant reflection of them and what I call their field, their energetic field, field with a D. And so the reason I'm saying this is I'm just noticing I haven't even dropped in. And I'm already feeling a bracing in my heart. I'm feeling tears coming to my eyes. And so for me, I would interpret this as further confirmation that I think Amanda is actually deeply sensitive, deeply sensitive. I think she feels things deeply and quickly. That's probably a part of why, like I said before, she tends to like want to nest and go inward. I mean, it's probably part of why she doesn't want to be in NYC anymore. You know, I don't know that she's consciously registering it like that, but I can imagine for someone as deeply sensitive as her, first of all, if she's not in awareness of how much she's taking in energetically and how much she's feeling for other people, that right there is going to be cause for her to like, I think, preemptively shut down, right? But then also like, look at the world she's in. Like she's on a reality TV show, which is one of the most chaotic kind of like industries you can be in. She's surrounded by, I mean, I love him, you know, I love him, but extroverted Kyle, like she's in a world right now that I don't think really reflects back her possible sensitivity. So no wonder she wants to be in bed all day. No wonder she wants to chill out and veg out. And no wonder Kyle doesn't get it. I mean, maybe we'll get here. I do think Kyle is also deeply sensitive too, like deeply intuitive, but he does seem to orient differently. He seems to be more, you know, he seems to get that charge out of being around other people. So anyways, sorry, this is a bit of a digression. I really want to name and reflect what I'm feeling for Amanda, which is damn girl, like you are intuitive. If I were working with her right now, I would really be letting her know, like, I want you to really open up to the idea that you are intuitive. You feel things deeply. You need to start taking that seriously for yourself. You need to start taking care of yourself. You need to start trusting your intuition. Like don't, because I know from working with people, if you haven't had this reflection, maybe from someone like me or other people, you will second guess or minimize your experience. I did that for decades. I mean, it has been a process for me to come home to myself and understand this is real. I have the feeling Amanda hasn't even begun to understand yet, like how deep her sensitivity is. And so, yeah, no wonder she's freaking out all the time. You know, and it's also just making me think too of, oh, it's so interesting. Okay, I am going to come back to your question, but this is the last thing I'll say. It's just interesting because one of the things that triggered her the last episode was when she felt dismissed by Danielle. And she was like, Danielle doesn't take me seriously. And so it's like,
oh, when she said, does she think I'm a joke of a human?
Yeah. And like Danielle didn't talk to her, you know, she kind of left the room, yeah. Which to me, when I saw that, I was like, oh, Danielle's just tired of the conversation. But, you know, Amanda took it really personally. Two things just came to me. The first is, as within, so without. If the outside world kind of reflects to us our internal experience, part of me wants to say to Amanda, are you taking yourself seriously? You know, are you, like, in context of this conversation, are you taking your intuition seriously? Are you taking your sensitivity seriously? And then what came to me, just circling back around to what we've been exploring, is, again, this idea of perhaps a family system that loves her, but also shuts her down. A family system that loves her, but also infantilizes her. I mean, what did I say? Doesn't necessarily support her to feel like an individuated woman who's in ownership of her sensitivity and her sensitive gifts. So that might be another historical place where there's a voice in her saying, take me seriously. I'm not just some young, dumb girl dancing in the flowers and the grass. Like I actually have a lot to offer here. And what's coming through me as I say this, I'm kind of saying this to Dad, just because it doesn't look like how you do it doesn't mean this isn't valuable. Oof, that really landed. So yeah, hopefully I'm onto something, because I hope this is clearing something out for Amanda. So I do want to drop into the question you asked, but was there anything you wanted to ask or say in response to that?
No, this is great.
All right. So I'm just going to, okay, Amanda's energy. We're going to go really slowly. So don't worry. This is Amanda towards love. I'm just going to visualize like the Lover Boy logo.
Good. Yeah.
Okay. So this is Amanda Batula to Loverboy. I mean, it's so funny. It's the same thing. It's like, I don't want to look at it. I don't want to look at it. It reminds me of Valerie Cherish from The Comeback. I don't want to see that. I don't want to look at it. I don't want to take it in all the way. So I just want to say, I will coax her to look at it. Before I do, what I want to say is, I take this as information. And again, we're kind of watching this play out on the show, and maybe this is now starting to shift. But I feel this part of Amanda that's like, I kind of don't. Yeah, I don't want to take this in because I don't want to know how I actually feel about it. I don't want to have to take responsibility for where it would take me to really get into what I, Jamie, like to call emotional reality about how I actually feel about Loverboy. Oh, even just saying that, it's like, yeah, I don't want to look. I don't want to know. I don't want to hear it. Like, I won't. And then I'm hearing like, I won't look. I won't look. I won't look. Because to me as Amanda, it feels like a setup. And I think actually, ooh, I wish I were like releasing this tomorrow. Just for the record, we're recording this on Thursday, May 2nd.
Yeah, there'll be another episode that is aired before this episode comes out.
Right, because this episode will come out in a week. So I feel like we're about to start watching stuff play out. But what's coming to me right now is, as Amanda, it feels like a setup. It's like, if I get in a relationship with Loverboy, which I, as Jamie, will do in a moment for on Amanda's behalf, it's almost like I might get in touch with deeper feelings of how I actually feel about this. And then if I bring those feelings out, again, that's where I'm going to get shut down. So it's kind of like, I feel sort of damned if I do, damned if I don't. It's like, if I show up to this all the way, if I get clear on sort of what I want and need around this, like in this case, Kyle, the man's going to come in and sort of shut something down, and then I'm going to feel hurt all over again. So my only option is just to kind of like half engage, if that makes, like, I'm here for you in the way that feels good for you, but I'm not going to look all the way. And now I'm kind of like trapped in something that doesn't feel really good for me, if that makes sense. So I just, yeah. And like I said, as Amanda, it sort of feels like the invitation to look at Loverboy and to be an emotional reality, like to be an emotional reality about it, it feels like a setup. Cause this is where you, like, I'm going to be lured somehow into being honest and clear. And then that's where I'm going to get shut down and made to feel like a silly little girl.
Here's my number one question for Amanda. In relationship to Loverboy, Amanda, where do you think Loverboy would be if you never quit your job? If you were not the creative branding brain behind Loverboy, would it have been the success? Where would Loverboy be without you?
It's so funny. It's like, I mean, you see what's happening. It's like, my throat is getting closed. It's like, and my head is like spinning. Like, it's like, I can't answer this question. Like, I can't answer yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. I can't answer this question. So that's interesting information right there. If I, Jamie, kind of slow this down, I will say this. When you first asked the question, there was something that kind of wanted to move through me that was almost like, I mean, I guess this is what Paige was talking about last episode. It almost felt like a diva. It felt kind of like Jenna Lyons-y. It was like, kind of like fucking nowhere. Like fucking nowhere without me. But then I noticed, like, I can't have that voice. Like, I can't. What if I'm wrong? What if it's not true? What if I pay a price for it? So if I trust this information, I would say maybe there is like an inner creative diva in Amanda that wants to come through, and a part of her that's like, I'm not allowed to have this. Again, it kind of fits in with that sort of theme of like the infantilized girl. Like, an infantilized girl isn't a self-possessed diva. And if we trust this, if there is kind of like, if Amanda, actually this is sort of very similar to Jenna in some ways. If Amanda is a fusion, perhaps, of like a creative diva with also a deep sensitivity, like a deep energetic sensitivity, it would make sense then what I'm talking about. It's like, if the sensitivity gets shut down, the diva in her, if she had permission to speak up, would have something to say about, like, don't fuck with me. Like, yeah, I might be a little girl playing in the fields and it may look all sweet and warm on the outside, and it is, but also don't fuck with me. Because, like, when it's time to get serious, I can get serious.
What is she not saying to Kyle that, like, what are the secret thoughts she has regarding Loverboy that she doesn't say to Kyle?
I am hearing you would be nothing without me. Now, I want to be clear, whether that's actually true or not, I don't know. And whether that's even her deepest truth, I don't know. But I do hear at least a voice in her that sometimes wants to say, you would be nothing without me, and it's pissed. And then when I say it's pissed, the deeper, like, again, you know, I look at everything as pattern, and that our current day conflicts are reflecting something deeper, more historical in us. So this feels like the part of her that feels sidelined. You know what I mean? Like, in general, like, I've got this sort of creative power in me that gets sidelined while others take credit and take the stage for what I'm doing. But what I also heard too, oh shit, what was it? Sorry, it was coming through so clear. So first I heard, you would be nothing without me. Oh, it was this very strong feeling of like, you don't even get what I've done here. Like, it actually, so this is interesting. So it is an acknowledgement of Kyle's gifts. Like, this is what this feels like. Yeah, Kyle, you are a bright energy. You've got great ideas. You make things happen. Like, it's a respect for what Kyle brings. But then what I feel from, like, Amanda's psyche is like, I came in and I reined it in. I came in and I directed it. I came in and created like a channel for it to move. And you don't even fucking see that. So it's like this push-pull where I feel like on some level, you know what it kind of reminds me of almost? I mean, this is a weird metaphor because ultimately Candy Burris has no problem really taking center stage, but it reminds me of like when Candy made Tardy for the Party a hit. And it's like, You know, Kim was the one who earned the money. She was the face of it. But we all know Candy was the one who fucking made that happen. Again, it's a weird metaphor because Candy, although I don't know, this is a whole digression. It is interesting. Candy's never quite hit it big as a solo artist. So it is, maybe Candy does have her own relationship to what it would mean to like really occupy the light. Anyways, regardless, coming back to Amanda, it's kind of this feeling like on the one hand for Amanda, it feels more comfortable for me to own my gifts on the side. Like, I kind of get a hit and a charge of something by being the one who comes in and is sort of quietly creatively brilliant behind the scenes. Like, there is a pride I get out of this because on some level, and again, I don't know if this is conscious for her or unconscious for her, but on some level, I'm so proud of what I've done here because I have done something quiet and more sensitive than, like, you know, kind of like the buffoon who's sort of juggling the three-ring circus in the spotlight. So part of me feels so much more comfortable here. It's a safe way to circulate my gifts. And also it pisses me off because I'm not getting seen for what I've done. It's almost like in her ideal world, she'd get recognition for the quiet, invisible way. But, you know, that's like an oxymoron, or it's a catch-22. How can you get recognition from the world if you're going to be invisible with it? So I'm aware I'm kind of saying a lot in response to your question. But yeah, it does feel like, yeah, I was the quiet force who came in and did shit. And I'm not getting recognized for it, both by Kyle, but then again, also I'm not owning it for myself. I'm not coming out and saying, fuck you, Kyle. You, like, see what I've done. Like, don't, like, Kyle, like, you're fucking getting on my back because I'm not emailing people at three in the, what the diva voice in Amanda says is like, I don't fucking email people. That's not my role here. Do you not get my quiet creative genius? And by the way, if you want to keep reaping the benefits of my quiet creative genius, I'm going and getting a house in Jersey and I'm spending a lot of alone time there because that's what I need to do to recover. I'll come in one day a week or whatever and give you the benefit of my quiet creative genius, but fucking recognize what I'm doing. So again, if Amanda were here, I might explore with her this edge of like, maybe her genius is the quiet creative genius. You know what I mean? And that's the diva in her, and it's a matter of owning it and getting paid really well for it and taking care of herself. Or maybe there is a flashier, more visible way it wants to live. I don't know. But these are the things that I would be exploring with her. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm also aware I still never like got into direct relationship with Loverboy. So I am just kind of curious, like, what happens if I coax the energy to get? Okay. Mm-hmm. This is me dropping back into Amanda to get into direct relationship with Loverboy. Okay. So. So funny. This is so unexpected. Yeah, the diva is definitely coming. It's like, I don't know. The diva's coming out. It's like, I feel an aspect of this of like, well, first of all, there's definitely resentment for sure. And it's almost like, this is a joke to me. It's like, meaning,
what's a joke?
Like, again, that analogy of Candy to Tardy with a Party, like, that's like, there's an ass. I'm not saying this is all of it. I'm saying there's an aspect of this. Yeah, it's kind of like, okay, Kyle, this is your thing. It's your dream. You go and do this. Yes, I'm proud of you. But it's like, this is like, I don't know if I want to say meaningless, but it's just like child's play. This is easy for me. Like this is your vision, not mine. And again, the diva here, and as we're saying, there's multiple voices here with this, but the diva here, it's just kind of like, yeah, I can do this in my sleep. Like, yeah, whatever, this is easy. Like, yeah, I'm impressing you with what I'm doing. You ain't seen nothing yet. So there is some resentment here. Definitely does not feel like full ownership of it. And definitely it feels like I'm circulating my sort of quiet creative genius into something that, again, the language like doesn't really mean much to me. I mean, I feel bad because it's like, I'm sure, like bringing in the other threads, obviously Amanda loves Kyle, and I'm sure on a certain level, she does support this and she supports him. But I think creatively, I don't think this means that much to her. And I think she resents it because I think, yeah, it co-opts this sort of creative genius in her, which again, as we're both saying, and I think that also makes her feel safe.
Amanda, in that episode when they were sort of doing the ad for Old Navy, Paige was sort of describing a world in which Amanda could really be like a brand and image consultant, where she could go into probably other brands and give direction and probably charge a premium rate, just basically as a consultant. And I wonder, she'd probably make more money. Well, she would definitely make more money doing that. But again, that's not her baby. That wouldn't be her baby either.
But it could be. See, that's the thing. I'm so glad you're bringing this up. And I forgot Paige said that. And I'm kind of agreeing potentially with Paige. I kind of felt when I talked about this idea of like her, you know, having a home in the country or the burbs and then like coming in consulting one day a week with her creative genius, like I actually felt that as a possibility of like a creative consultant who lends her genius to other brands. Because that, look, I'm not saying she couldn't have her own brand as well. I mean, she did talk about that, like wanting to design bathing suits, I guess. Maybe we could drop into that. But like, it's like, you know, you recently had Tabitha on your show. Actually, I'm the same way in a different way. Like I'm helping people with their lives. It's like there are people, it's like teachers. You know what I mean? It's like there are people who have real skill and adeptness at kind of like what I was just saying, like, Kyle, I see your raw power. Let me help you direct, mold, and guide it. Like, that's a skill in and of itself. So I absolutely could see her doing something like that. But it does feel to me, whatever she would do, yes, it would require, she needs a lot of space to herself. And she needs a lot of space to like noodle her ideas. That's the thing. I don't think she's off track in wanting to veg out and rest. I just think right now it's almost like a preemptive collapse because she's not honoring her deep intuitive gifts and this possible like sort of quiet creative brilliance that can help others. So then she's just collapsing. And then Kyle, who's sort of like blind to the deeper sensitivity that's going on in her, you know, he's sort of criticizing for her. That's why, again, I'm just like in the place of pattern. I'm like, this kind of feels like it might be confirming what was sort of initially coming through me of this notion of like sort of a brute masculine force that's not like that on one hand sort of loves her sensitive, maybe what we could even call feminine gifts, but then also just totally blows past them. And then what I'm really feeling, like at least in relationship with Kyle, maybe this came up with her dad too, but like you just sort of use me for the parts of me that you like, but then you're not willing to see me on the deeper level and to like really, honor like what I need to take care of me. There's one more thing I can bring into all this, but was there anything you wanted to say?
No, go ahead.
I was thinking at one point of making a video about why Amanda gets so triggered when Kyle stays out late. And I didn't end up making it, but I was kind of intuitively poking around a bit just to prepare. And it was something around like this notion of being all alone, like late at night. And I just remember this experience of like wanting to matter enough for like the man to come. And I don't know if it was like rescue me, but to like check on me, to be with me, like wanting the man to choose me and tend to my needs, to care about me. And so to me, this suddenly like fits in with what I'm just saying of like, Kyle, like you use me for the things that you like, but then you're not like taking me in. And like, again, this feels like the little girl. It's like, when does the man actually care about what I want and need? Like, when does the man come through and actively choose me and care about my sensitive needs? So it's interesting. And then I think kind of bringing this all together, again, this is the setup. Like, let's just say, like, going back to childhood, if I'm right about any of this, it's like, if I own the voice of rage in me, if I own the diva voice that says, don't shut me down, or I don't like this, or this isn't okay, like this feeling of me in me that, like, then I'll pay a price for that. Love will be withdrawn. Like, that type of energy isn't allowed. Mm-hmm. I'm not allowed to bring that out. So again, it's this bind where it's like, I either like speak up and own the diva energy and then I lose connection with the man I love, be made wrong for it, or I disown the diva energy. I play the good little girl, but then I feel used and I'm disconnected from my creative gifts. So I feel like this is, so I think the work for Amanda, you know, if I were working with her, would really be supporting her to get back in touch with the diva energy, the anger in her that wants to say like, don't shut me down, and that wants to advocate for her needs. And from the adult perspective of trusting that this will ultimately draw in the right type of connection for her.
I would also want to ask Amanda, like, the way I see them, like, it's clear that Kyle is her supervisor. Like, not only is she married to him, he's her husband, but he's her supervisor. And she exists in his shadow. On top of that, she exists in his shadow a lot of times on the show, particularly like when she acts out, like when she's even her best as a reality TV character, it's in reaction to him. It's in reaction to his late nights. I just wonder, who is Amanda without Kyle? Yeah, like, who is Amanda without Kyle? And does she must love it. I think she loves being able to hide behind the guy who is able to be the face of the TV show, the face of the brand, the face of everything. But if he goes away, if the TV show goes away, if Loverboy comes to an end, who is she? Like, what is she left? I mean, I guess she would be left being like a stay-at-home mom with kids, or just like a mother. And yeah, like, I wonder if, I know that's not a clear question, but it's just an area that I'd want to feel into. Yeah, who is she?
I am kind of curious about, like, yeah, what it would mean to drop into the energy of Amanda without Kyle. I don't know. I'm just kidding. Okay, so.
Yeah.
I mean, it is interesting because, again, what immediately happens is my shoulders want to hunch forward. My arms are crossed in front of my chest, which I'm going to say something about that in a moment. And I'm hunched over. So again, it's like I'm kind of hiding from the world. This is why I was saying up top, yes, I'm pushing away Kyle and I don't trust Kyle. But to me as Jamie, this doesn't actually feel like I don't trust Kyle. It's like a deeper level of a lack of safety. And so I'll just pause here for a little teaching point. This is what I talk about with unconscious investments, right? So let's just say I'm right about this, that there's something in Amanda that deeply is protecting her heart, that has a deep distrust that if she surrenders to love all the way, that's where she's going to get shut down and hurt, right?
I was going to ask, what's an unconscious investment?
It would unconsciously work for her to be with someone like Kyle, where there's a perfect kind of reason and quote-unquote excuse to never trust him. It's like he cheated. He stays out late. It's like the perfect reason for her to have her guard up. So I want to be clear. I'm not saying that, like, Kyle did have an uneasy relationship with Fidelity. So that's real. But if you come from this notion that we co-create our realities, like with higher plan in the universe, and that we're manifesting the things around us, that means everything serves us in some way. So yeah, it becomes like, so the unconscious investment in this case would be like, on some unconscious level, I'm invested in situations that give me a perfect reason to never drop the guard around my heart. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So coming back to this, it's sort of like, I felt that earlier. It's like, if I don't have Kyle, I suddenly just feel so naked. My arms are crossed in front of my chest and I just don't feel safe. So yes, I would take this to mean she feels so much safer hiding behind his light. It feels like a really love-hate relationship with Kyle's light. It's like, because Kyle does have a light and he is powerful. You know, I love Kyle. So it's sort of like, again, I love you, I hate you. I love you, I hate you. I feel safe behind you. I resent you for obscuring me. It's both at the same time. But if I stay with this for a second, it really is. So when Kyle's not here and I stay with it, as Amanda, I feel the invitation, I'm not saying it's easy for me to do, to drop my arms from across my chest, to rise up and just step into my like empowered womanhood. And I will say, as Amanda, it feels fucking dangerous. It feels like, again, I'm going to get smacked down. If I rise like a sunflower, I'm going to get smacked down for it. So I'm sort of more exploring the fear of what happens without Kyle. Maybe if I stay with like the willingness to be the sunflower. It's interesting that it's a sunflower, because I'm just seeing the stalk of the sunflower rise and taking in the sun. Here's another imagery. I keep getting this imagery of like grass, fields, flowers with her. I'm taking in the sun. I'm hearing the words Mother Earth, which is interesting. So this is what I was going to say before when I said I was going to say something about my arms being crossed in front of my chest. When I'm dropped in the energy of Amanda, it does, you know, and they sort of joke a lot about like the size of her breasts on the show. And it does really feel like I'm covering my heart and also my breasts. And to me, the way that I interpret that as Jamie is like guarding the sign of my, like my womanhood. Like there does feel something very like, again, I heard the words Mother Earth, and then, you know, she wants to be a wife and mother. Like there's something very, I think there's something very native to Amanda about like, you know, what I would maybe call like the divine feminine, the divine mother, earth, nature. Like again, seeing that little girl in her bare feet in the fields, like there's something very earthy mother about her. Powerful woman, creator. Again, like a creator of the home, but a creator of like creative consultant. So if I just sort of follow this for a moment, but yeah, I think a feeling in her, again, I'm going back to the fear now, if like I really step into all of this, oh, it almost feels like I just feel alone here too, because if there is an image that if I step all the way into my empowered mother, womanly diva energy that has a strong point of view and is a creative life force, like it's going to step on some toes. People might get pissed at me. I won't be the good little girl anymore. I can just kind of feel, I'm not saying she actually would end up alone. Again, her parents seem to love her very much. If this is family of origin stuff, I'm sure, whatever, it'd be fine for Amanda to step into who she is now as an adult. We're talking about like childhood fear though, you know, based on old messages. So anyways, I've said a lot all at once. I'm probably saying too much, but does that answer your question?
Yeah. I feel like we kind of did it with Amanda. Yeah.
And yeah, do you have anything you kind of just want to bring in to decompress?
The only other thing around Summer House I'd want to talk about is like obviously like Lindsay and Kyle related, like, and but is that like too far off topic?
No, I mean, I think what my intention was just to, again, you know, we're kind of in a deep space. So I wanted to give you and me and maybe the audience a chance just to kind of decompress. So maybe I'll say this. First and foremost, if there is anything you wanted just to kind of like outside view, ask or get closure on in terms of what we just explored. But yeah, if there's other stuff you want to bring in, we could do that too.
Yeah, I want to bring in, I would love to know, just like you, Jamie, what you made of that final scene with Carl, his mother, and the stepfather, that conversation. I'd love to know how that landed on you and what you picked up off of. Because I know that you have a lot of feelings about Carl and the mom.
Yeah.
So I'd like to know that. And then also what you were picking up off of the stepfather.
Well, I will say this, you guys, if you have not yet listened to the episode that I recorded with Emily Hanks last fall when Carl and Lindsay first broke up, I implore you to go listen to that. Because I have to say, even though this is playful exploration, we kind of fucking nailed it. Like, everything we talked about is playing out on the show this season. But yes, and I did talk about his relationship to his mother. And it's interesting. So I talked about his relationship to his mother on that episode. And it's interesting because Lindsay, I don't know if I've watched all the after shows yet. I've heard her make mention now a few times to like Carl kind of having an inappropriate relationship with his mom. I haven't seen anything where she's gotten into details yet. So I'm waiting to hear about those details, but I sort of love that, like, she's kind of confirming something that I was already picking up on. The only thing in terms of those two, like, Carl did make that comment. I mean, and again, you know, he said it very affectionately. I'd kind of be curious to find out if there's deeper feelings there than just affection about this, but he sort of said something like, she's my best, like, first of all, she's my best friend, talk to her all the time. And then he said something like, I mean, if it were up to her, she would talk to me every day. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, here it is. You know, so, I mean, if you haven't heard the episode, I do get this feeling that there's kind of maybe, there's been the possibility of a lot of demands placed on Carl from his mom, and that he sort of has felt a responsibility to take care of her. And in the place where he's maybe felt the responsibility to take care of her, though he loves her very much, clearly, there also might be some real underground rage and resentment there that he doesn't feel he's entitled to, which is perhaps why he gets so angry towards women in general, because there might be something in him that has a real push-pull towards women. It's interesting because I always watch these shows a few days. You know, I don't have cable. I watch things on Peacock. So I tend to watch things after I've already started hearing about stuff. And people seemed so up in arms about that scene. So I was kind of prepared for it to be a lot worse. So when I watched it, I was like, oh, okay. I just, my sense of it was like, okay, Carl's, he's talking things through. I mean, yes, these are things he should really be sharing with Lindsay, of course. I do think that Carl, I don't know if this is answering your question or not, but I do think Carl is great at knowing how to show up in arguments and then position what happened so that it looks like he's doing and saying all the right things. But to kind of Lindsay's point, who, by the way, is not blameless in any of this, of course, I think that there is, I mean, look, we're seeing flashes of it. There is a rage that comes out in Carl. And we certainly saw it went back when he was drinking and doing drugs and whatnot. Like, there's a cruelty that can come out of him towards the women in his life and games he loved. I mean, I won't go into specifics. I remember games that he played, like, in the first few seasons. I think that his gamesmanship has gotten a lot more refined. I think, like I said, he knows how to say things, for example, like, hey, look, it's me too. It's me too. And I've got my own stuff. And like, I just feel like he knows how to language stuff and talk about things so that it's like, he sort of comes out of it looking like the bigger person and the better guy, especially when there's someone like Lindsay who does get so reactive. But it's almost like the image I get is like, he's sort of walking around the perimeter of something, meaning the perimeter of his own deeply held rage, desire to win, desire to punish. And so I kind of felt some of that. Like, he's really good at rallying the troops. You know what I mean? Like, the way he talked to Kyle about the situation, the way that he talked to his mother and the stepfather, the way they're like, oh, that Lindsay, she's abusive. Like, I just think he knows, there's something there that he knows how to do really well.
Well, he's a salesman, so he knows how to, like, sell his ideas.
And to make it look like he's taking response.
And I say this as somebody who loves Carl.
I like Carl too. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I said it then, I'll say it now. I support both of them. I like both of them. I'm rooting for both of them. I want them both to succeed. I think deep down they both mean well. But yeah, it's sort of like he knows how to present it in a way where it looks like he's taking responsibility for his part. It looks like he's just concerned for the well-being of others. It looks like he's sort of like the sane one. And I think that he's just really good at setting it up to, it feels a little bit like smoke and mirrors. Like, he never really speaks to his own depth of, like, punishing rage in the part of him. I mean, I'm even feeling it as I'm saying this. I think there's just a part of him that wanted to annihilate Lindsay that was just so furious with her by the end.
Do you think they'll both do Summer House again? Because I definitely think so.
Yes. What I'm really curious about is if they come back and a year has passed, because they're both people who I think are willing to forgive and move on. Mm-hmm. And I'm so curious, like, if they both move on, the dust settles, a year passes, they come back into the house as friends.
Oh, you think they're going to be friends again?
Maybe they won't come into the house as friends. I'm wondering if there'd be a possibility for them to reconnect as friends. And if they did reconnect as friends, I don't know. There's always this part of me that's like, are they really done? I don't know why. I mean, I think right now they are. Like, right now they feel done in this present moment. Like, especially from both their ends, really.
Wow.
But I don't know. There was this part of me. It's like, is there a world in which they come back having finally gotten all that space from their roller coaster, like, hoped for fairy tale wedding, and they reconnect when there's less pressure?
I think that would only exist in a universe where Lindsay decided to get sober for herself.
I mean, yes, both of them would have to do work on themselves to like not repeat the same old pattern. Yeah, for sure. Carl would have to deal with his cruelty and his rage. Lindsay would have to deal with this deep sensitivity that she's always pushing away. Like, there are things they have to work out here. But there is this part of me, it's like, well, if they both were really doing a deeper level of work, I don't know. Could it work between them? I don't know.
Very interesting. I mean, I think we said it all.
All right. Well, yeah. This was fun. Did you enjoy
this? Yeah, this was good.
Okay. Jess, thank you so much for going on this ride with me.
Thank you.
Your energy and insight is always deeply appreciated. Where should people find you? What should they be aware of?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram, JessXNYC. And my podcast is Hot Takes and Deep Dives. Jamie's been on a bunch. And yeah, find me there.
And Finding Fire Island, right?
And Finding Fire Island, of course.
And as always, follow me on Instagram for exclusive content, JAMIESTEIN. And if you are interested in this work and exploring the deeper levels of your psyche, I will put a link to my contact page and my show notes for this episode. Just send me an email or go to my website, hollywoodreadings.com, and you can go to the contact page there. Reach out to me. Let me know your interested in doing a deeper level of work, and more to come soon, you guys. As always, thanks for being here. Let me know what you think, your own insights, thoughts, and observations, and I will see you all on the flip side. Bye.